Let's turn to Luke chapter 16. And you remember we looked at Jesus speaking about a rich man who had a steward. A rich man who had a steward. And you remember this rich man wanted to benefit somebody. That's what stewards do. In this case, it was the master himself. He wanted to benefit himself by lending money out. That's just one way of setting up a trust or a trustee to handle his accounts. And the trustee was bad. He was bad. He was actually enriching himself. That's called unjust enrichment. So he was enriching himself instead of multiplying the master's income. And he had all these borrowers out there that weren't paying back. So the rich man said, you know, that's not right. And people were telling him, well, this guy's living high off the hog on your account. That's evil. How many know that's bad? Because a steward is someone who's a fiduciary. Say fiduciary. That's a little higher than a business partner or somebody. When you're fiduciary, that means you have a high level of trust in a person. That's different than just saying, I'll buy that shirt for $10. Here's the shirt. Here's the $10. This means you're actually going to take care of the master's goods as though the master himself were doing it. You'll do as good a job as the master would do, if not better, because you're going to be tending to it all the time while the master's doing whatever else the master needs to do. So the master, this rich man, had hired this man to take care of his affairs, and he wasn't doing it. He was not only not collecting, getting the money paid back, but he was eating up some of the profits himself. That's wrong. Thank God none of us have ever done that. We have never wasted resources that were committed to us, you know, like brains or like good looks or like talent or like time. We've never wasted time. We've never wasted talents. We were good stewards. Amen. So you can't identify properly with this particular parable or story. But this rich master called the steward in and he said, you know, I've heard stories about what you're doing. So here's the master. I'm going to say it's God. It could be anybody, but I'm going to say it's God. And the master is called the benefactor. That is, he's the guy that does good. How many know that God is good? God is good. And not only that, God only is good. And not only that, no one else is good but God. So God is good. So here we have God is love, or God is good, and so on. So everything is up to God, and it's God's desire, since he's good, is to bless you and me. So here we are. He's going to bless the one that's going to inherit his stuff, or maybe his wife, or his grandchildren, or children, or whatever, whoever he wants. He could be all mankind. But somebody is called the beneficiary. The beneficiary. Beneficiary of his goodness. So they get his love or his blessings. Love and blessing. But the neat thing about God is he doesn't lie. If he says he's going to bless you, that's the truth. So I'll write down truth. He's going to bless you. And that love is unconditional. You don't have to be anything except he names you. He just says, you're the one I love. And you don't have to be good. You don't have to be good. You don't have to be loving. You don't even have to be appreciative. Isn't that amazing? Can you see that? The only reason you're loved is for no reason at all. Isn't that a neat deal? I mean, you're not as excited as I am, obviously. You're not getting into this. This is powerful. You're loved for no reason at all, and you're naughty. You're not even any good. And the amazing thing is that God won't change his mind. I mean, once he gives his promise or his word, I will bless you. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I mean, once he decides that, he's not going to change his mind. You can change. You can say, well, I don't want it. I don't want your blessings. I don't want your love. I don't want your cookies. You know, you could say that. Do you like cookies? Yeah. And so you get to eat them, even if you haven't been good. Isn't that amazing? You know what that is? That's God, who's good, who's the only one that's good, and none is good but God, who's wanting to give you a blessing, and no one can thwart God. No one can defeat God. If God says, I'm going to bless you, he's going to bless you. Now, you don't have to take the blessing. You could say, oh, I don't want to be blessed. I'd rather be cursed. Okay, that's your choice. Give me what's due. Remember that? Give me what's mine. Well, you want what's due under the law? Nothing. Nothing. Because if you've sinned, you get the wage of sin. You know what the wage of sin is? Death. How many want that? God, give me what I'm due. Okay, you sure? Yeah. Okay, you're dead. That is what you do. What? I didn't do anything wrong. Yes, you did. Because you didn't do everything I said. What? Like what? Remember I said, be ye perfect as I am perfect? Oh, I forgot. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, how many are perfect? Just like God wants you to be perfect. Now, here he defines perfect. Be ye perfect as I am perfect. In other words, be like me. You have to be God in order to get God's, then you've done what he wants. How many know we're not? How many know little children are not perfect? How many know little children, I don't know why, they're just stubborn. Sometimes little children go, no. Have you ever seen that with little kids like that? Hey, you get to bed right now. No. Hey, stop watching that television right now and you go to bed. They just keep watching. You ever notice that little kids will do that? That little child should, that's a sin. That little child should be whipped, beaten. Never fed again, strung up by the neck. But they don't. They don't do it. You know why? Because the parents love them, even though they made that law. Hey, you get to bed right now. You get to this table. You take that shirt off. You know, parents are always telling kids what to do, and they don't do it. Has anybody noticed that they're not perfect? They only do what they want to do. And if they do what they don't want to do, they go like this. If you tell them to do something, they don't want to do it. They don't smile. Isn't that amazing? Anybody notice that about children? And they don't fake it either. Hey, you take that smile. You take that pout off your face right now. I said, right now, I'm going to spank you. Can you tell they're not really into it? That's not perfect. So God has set it up to bless us. Isn't that powerful? No matter what, unconditional. And he never, ever, ever doesn't get his way. If God wants to bless you, he can bless you. There's only one person that can stop it. You. You're the only one that can say, I don't want to be blessed. Now, he won't force blessing because it's free. It's free. You're not loved for any reason. It's not you're loved if you deserve it. You're not. You're loved if you say thank you. You're loved if you appreciate what I've done. No. You're just loved for no reason. Isn't that amazing? Does that not sound crazy? Because we don't do that. Do you know that people don't do that? Did you know that people don't do that? Did you know that? Are you aware that people don't do that? If you thwart me, I'm going to get even. Like George Bush, I'm going to preemptively strike. I won't just wait for you. I'll get you. I'll just get you. Right? So people are mean like that. Because they love, but they love conditionally. Meaning, I love you if you appreciate. I love you if you love me back. I love you if you deserve it. I love you if. And there's always an if. But with God, there's no if. God just loves you unconditionally, even if you're a sinner. Even if you hate him. Even if you thwart him. Isn't that amazing? Y'all see this? This is kind of an example for us. That's why he says, I want you to be like I am. But he'll love you before you're like he am. He'll love you before you're holy. He'll love you before you're righteous. He'll love before you deserve it. He'll love you before you worship him. He'll love you before. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That is good news. That's the gospel. You see that? The gospel is not the law. Let's put the law up here, because there's a law for this trust. Now watch this. This is interesting. Let's make a law for this trust, the very one that God made. He gave Moses this law, but he actually wrote it on everybody's heart. So what he gave in the Ten Commandments is actually written on everybody's heart. It's called reason and moral conscience. Only reason and moral conscience, because of sin, isn't as clear as these Ten Commandments. So I like these Ten Commandments. Four of them go in this direction, and six of them go in this direction. The first four have to do with worshiping God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath day, and so on. So those first four go upstairs. The other six, thou shalt honor your father and mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet, and so on. They go to your neighbor. So that law is the law of the trust. So there's the law of the trust. So the law of this trust that God has set up, the law of this trust is, here it is, be perfect. Do it exactly as I say. Be just exactly as I am. So God has obligated himself to love. He's given us the law. Then he puts all the property inside there. This is what is going to be given to us, the property, or you can call it the supply, or you can call it the the provision, whatever you need to be happy and safe all the time. Yahoo! Yahoo! So, is this you? Yahoo! Yahoo! So, there's me, safe. I'm never worried about anything, because I'm always safe, because the Father loves me, and I'm happy. Safe and happy. Do you all feel safe and happy? Y'all feel safe and happy? Now, God has made a promise. He's made a promise that I will give you the kingdom. I'm going to give you everything I own. Well, that's a big promise. Everything that I own. Now, I should not even preach another sermon. We already preached this last week. But that should be enough to make you excited for the rest of eternity. Just that God wants to give you everything. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you look like you've just received everything? Or do you look like... what do you look like? I mean, you, what do you look like to you? Do you look, yahoo! Or do you look like another day? You know, I'm sad again. I'm mad and I'm sad. I am never mad and I'm never sad. I'm not. I'm always happy. I'm always safe. I'm always happy. I'm like a little child. Are you like a little child? When our oldest daughter was young, I remember she used to do these cartwheels, and she'd come down the hall, and if you didn't know it, she might just come down the hall with her feet up in the air, and there she was, because she was always, singing and happy and, just going all over the house. Like she didn't know a war was going on. She didn't know about, the economy in the tank. She didn't know about all the problems in the world. She didn't even know her mother and father were sinners. She didn't know anything. She just thought, life was a cartwheel. And so she was always just going through the house, Jesus loves me, And Kara, who's today, what is she? Mom, 38. Kara, 38 years ago, that's the way she behaved when she just didn't know any better. Ignorance is bliss. She's just ignorant of what was going on in the world. The older you get, the sadder you get. Because, the marriage didn't quite work out the way you thought. Does anybody notice that? It wasn't, it wasn't quite what I had in mind. And not only that, not only was my mate not what I had in mind, I didn't behave well toward my mate who wasn't what I had in mind. Because I had in mind, he'd want to love me and care for me. Isn't that funny? I had in mind that, you know, my parents should be functional. I just had that idea. And so a lot of little kids go through life and they don't get it. As long as they're little, they're okay. But as soon as they get a little older, they feel abandoned. They feel betrayed. They feel that, you know, their parents weren't as good as they should have been or could have been. And little kids then get all disturbed when they get older. And that's why teenagers are so moody. And if it weren't for all the chemistry inside them, they'd probably give up, but they got a lot of chemistry inside of them, and they feel, well, I'll improve over my parents. Isn't that funny? I'm not going to be like my mother, and I'm not going to be like my dad. You know, well, you will. You'll be exactly like them. That's happened for 6,000 years. Everybody's exactly like their parents. Isn't that awful? That's pathetic. You're exactly like your parents. You cannot be better than your parents. How many have discovered that? Your parents, they weren't perfect. They were not perfect. Now, what if God had said, now here's my law. Just do the best you can. Ah, we could have done that. If God had just said that, I don't care if you clean your room, or I don't care if you come to the table when I call, or whatever. Just do the best you can. Oh, I wish he'd have said that. I wish he'd have said that. But instead he said, be perfect. And here, listen to Jesus. Jesus said, I always do what pleases my Father. You know, so Jesus is perfect, but I'm not. How many know you're not like your older brother Jesus? Jesus always pleases his Father. He said, it's my will to do his will. I don't know if it's always my will to please the Father. I think sometimes I want to please myself. Is there anybody like me? I don't know. That just kind of comes to me naturally. I just feel like I want everything to go my way. I don't feel like I want to love other people and take care of other people and always have other people walk on me and abuse me. I feel like that doesn't make me happy. Is there anybody like me? You know, I don't know. I just want pleasure. I just want to be safe and happy. Everything going my way. Zippity-doo-da. You know, I just want to do cartwheels and have everything go my way. And it ain't like that. It isn't like that. Because there's bad guys out there or something. And then I got sin inside myself, too. Anybody notice that? Not only is everybody else bad, so am I. So that's kind of, if I were God, I would have designed it better. How many are a little smarter like I am than God? Because the way God designed it and set it up, it was wrong. He should have put no sinners out in that world. He should have made me not a sinner. He gave me a choice and I chose the wrong way. How many chose the wrong way? Yeah. He said, don't be selfish. That's my name, selfish. I'm always for me. I'm never for God. I don't want to do God's will. I want to do my own. How many want to do God's will? You don't either. You don't want to do God's will. Here's God's will. Rejoice always. How many are doing that? You see, none of you want to do God's will. You don't want to rejoice always because of this rotten world that's out there. And because you got wickedness and sinfulness in your own life. So I don't want to do that. Fix the world and I'll do it. Make everything go right and then I'll smile. How many know that Christians won't smile because everything isn't perfect? Well, God, you fix everybody else up and then I'll be okay. Not going to do that. He wants to kill you first. How many know that's good news? Wages of sin is death. How many know that? That's good news. Actually, if you would die, things would be a lot better. How many know that dead people aren't at all sad? You can come and kick a dead person and they won't say anything. You can curse them. No, they don't say anything. They don't respond at all. So if we were just dead, things would go a lot better. But the problem is we're alive. And as long as we're alive, we want everything to go our way. And here's God. He made a promise. Everything. I want you to have everything. Well, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care if I can see it or not. I believe it. I believe everything's going my way. Do I see it? No. I don't see it. I just believe it. How many know that believing is more powerful than seeing? Okay, now I feel like you're not arguing with me, but you're kind of arguing with me. because I keep coming up with scriptures, so you know, yeah, he's got his scriptures down. And, you know, I can hear some of you saying, well, goody for you. I'm glad you're so happy. But you ain't been through the hell I've been through. Okay. But first of all, you don't know me. And second of all, you're wrong. It has nothing to do with that. Jesus said, in the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. So he doesn't count trouble as, oh, then I don't have to be of good cheer. No, no, no. He gave a promise, and here's what he said. Rejoice always. How many know that that means be happy all the time? How many want to rebel from that? I don't want that. I don't want to rejoice always. I have my times when I want to be mad, feel sorry for myself, get angry. How many know that you reserve that? You know, God, I'll be happy when things go well, but I'm not going to be happy when they don't. But God said, unconditionally, I love you, and I'll give you everything. Now, here's the key to this whole trust. I've left it out till the last here. I'm going to make it in red so you can see it. Or I'll make it in black. All right. This right here is the most important thing of all. This is called the steward or the trustee. Steward. That's the guy that doesn't do his own will. That's the guy that dies to himself. That's the guy that says, I'll take care of whatever the Father wanted, whatever he intended to do. If he wanted to bless the beneficiary, I'll take whatever he did. I won't take care of myself. I'll spend all my time blessing or making sure that this property goes to this beneficiary every day on time. I'll give up my life. I'll surrender my life. I'll surrender my own needs. I won't have any needs because I'll just surrender all those to take care of another. So a steward is someone who can be trusted because they won't take care of themselves. They'll take care of the other. How many know that that's good news? How many are excited about that? You get to live for other people to please God. That would be exciting. Amen? To be able, for example, if you have children, they don't have to do for you. You do for them. See, that's the joy, isn't it? Even when they don't deserve it, you still have to do for them. They cry at 3 a.m, you have to get up. They want food, clothing, and bedding, and you know, whatever. And they just expect that. They just take that for granted. And they don't even thank you sometimes. Sometimes children won't even thank you until they're, you know, parents themselves. And realize what you went through. Isn't that true? Are you all out there? Is there anybody out there? I don't know if I can see too well. Thought I saw a dozen people or so. So, you know, little kids don't deserve anything. They're just your kids. You just love them for nothing. Unconditional love. Don't you love it? Isn't this what you live for? To do for others? Why would anyone want to be a trustee and live for others when you can take care of yourself? Why would anyone want to do that? You're not made that way. Naturally, nobody wants to take care of other people at his expense. That'd be different is, hey, God, if I take care of others, will you take care of me? Yes. Well, what am I going to get? Just enough to survive. Oh. So when Jesus came down, it said he came not to be served, but to serve. He came not to be served, but to serve. And he just got his needs met. He just barely made it, but it was enough for Jesus. Because he wanted to spend every moment of every second of his life giving up his life for others. Isn't that beautiful? That's an example. That's what God had in mind. See, he's doing the Father's will. Make sure, Jesus, you go downstairs, and you make sure Jim gets everything so that he's safe and happy. Woohoo! And if he sins, you pay. Woohoo! I love that. That is good news to me. I don't know about Jesus, but it's good news to me. See? But Jesus said, no, I'm not worried about that. I want to die for Jim. I'm using myself because I like myself. I like to make sure I'm in on the deal. you know, you're in on it too. But I'm not so interested in you. I'm interested in me. Am I in on this deal? Is this good for me? You know, is all this gas under Fort Worth, am I getting some of that? You know, I want the benefit. How many, I don't care that everybody else gets benefited. I want to be benefited. How many are like that? You're just exactly like me. Hey, now what's my take? What do I get? What profit do I get? Jim, do you want what's due you? Yeah. Okay. Death. Wages of sin is death. You sinned. Well, I know, but... Well, that's not right. Well, it is. Did you do my law? Remember it said be perfect? Were you perfect? No. Well, then I'll have to spank you and then kill you. Don't you love that? For some reason, that must not be the last word on the subject. For some reason, when God says, here's the problem for God. Here's the problem for God. He made a promise. I'm gonna bless Jim. I'm going to give him all my blessings. I want him to have the kingdom. Well, then I can't die because of my sin. So he put up a law, but I don't have to do that law because I'd be dead. The wages of sin is death. So that law is not going to come on me. Because if it did, I wouldn't get the blessing. So which is higher? What God wants in his heart or what he told me to do that I didn't do? Which is higher? All right, you kids, make your room right now. You're not going out and play. Which is higher? That I love my child or that I want them to, you know, make their room? You know, fix up your room. Clean it up. How many know that God has a heart that's bigger than his law? Do you all see this? You're not having fun. I know you're not getting it. You're not getting it. You're not rejoicing because you could. If what I'm telling you, I'm listening to this. Hey, this is good. Press the gym. Hallelujah. Yahoo. You know, I'm enjoying this message. This is exciting to me. But you're not smiling at all. You're waiting for the thing to drop or something. You know, what's he getting at? You know, it's a trick question or something. All right. Here's how the deal works. When the blessing doesn't come to me, let's say the blessing doesn't come to me for whatever reason. Maybe this trustee, this steward, isn't to be trusted because he unjustly enriches himself. I'll draw a green dollar. That he wants the dollar himself. Now, that dollar was supposed to go to Jim, but I can get it myself and skip Jim. That would be a bad trustee. Because the law says, here's what the law says. Let all the law, the burden of the law, regarding this property, fall here. And let all of the blessing, I'm going to put that in red. Let all the blessing go over here to Jim. That was what God originally intended. So let the blessing go this direction, blessed, benefited, happy, good, smiley face. And all the burden over here, if anybody should pay, let it be Jesus. So a good trustee, Adam was not. Adam was not a good trustee. None of Adam's children, none of us, ever wanted to be God's trustee. The only way he could ever get you to be a trustee would be to kill you. The only way he could ever get you there would be to kill you, because your natural self, you don't want to be like that. So he'd have to give you another birth. He'd have to kill you and then resurrect you to a new birth. Do y'all see that? Do y'all see that? He'd have to destroy your old man and give you a whole new man. And that's what Jesus did. That's why Jesus came to say, Father, put the law on me. Don't put the law on Jim. Don't ever let Jim do anything. Let Jim just enjoy everything. That's the way kids are. How many know you cannot become a Christian unless you enter the kingdom of God as a little child? You have to enter as a little child. How are little children? They get all the blessings. They do cartwheels down the hall. They're always happy. Now, a new Christian, a brand new Christian, like that one right there, that's somebody that lets Jesus die for them. I sinned, Jesus dies. I sinned, Jesus dies. The wages of sin is death. I sinned, Jesus dies. Don't you see that? In other words, the child does wrong, but the parent pays. That makes sense. The child breaks the window, but the parent pays for it. Don't you see that? That's a good parent. If something goes wrong with the child, it's the parent's fault. Or maybe it's not their fault, but it's their responsibility to take that on themselves. The burden doesn't go on the child. Y'all see that? Now, most people feel religion is going to burden you and make you do something. No, I've never done anything. All I've ever done with Jesus is take. I'm a happy beneficiary right there. Look at me. That's a picture of me. That's a picture of me. I'm having a wonderful time. You know, for, I don't know how long it's been, 40 years? I don't know how long it's been, long time. I've been happy for 40 years. No burden on me. Jesus does it all. Jesus is the one that saves me. He cleans me up. He makes me mature. He blesses me. I get everything. I just love it that Jesus does all that. I don't even know how to do it. I'm not naturally a doer of God's word. I can't keep that law. Because look at what the law says. Be perfect. Exactly the same way that God is perfect. I can't do that. How many know that only God can be perfect? If God is good, and only God is good, and none is good but God, Jesus said that. Well then, I can't be good. I can't be good, Craig. There's no way I can be good. And I'm so happy to hear that. Because if I can't be, I can't be. And Jesus said, that's okay, Jim. I'll be good for you, and then I'll give you the blessing. Woohoo! You're not going to eat up part of it? You're not going to eat up part of it? You see, God will not eat up. God will not allow his trustee to eat up. Now, let's say that trustee's bad, because this unjust servant actually was bad. And here's interesting. I'm going to call this mammon, because that's the word the Bible uses for getting rich in this world, taking care of yourself. Call that mammon. Now, mammon means stealing the bread from somebody else and taking it for me. In other words, all I'm worried about is not how everyone else is doing, but I'm only worried about me getting it. That's kind of like the Democrats. They feel like they want everyone to get it, okay? Hey, by the way, they're liars. They don't really believe in that. They just say that. And they hate John McCain and the Republicans because they say, me. You know, the oil people, and, you know, self-interest, see? And so they hate that. It's unfortunate because Barack probably is not going to be the president because he's too nice. He believes in other people getting all these blessings, and the mean, nasty guy is probably going to get it. Do y'all see what I'm saying? I'm sorry. I'm just sorry that y'all are believing in that being wonderful and nice. You can't do good because none is good but God. So he's not going to have somebody like that who's an idiot who believes that mankind, we have enough bread for everybody, we have enough, you know, so on. Yes, you do, but you have selfish people and nasty people, and there's some of them are Democrats. So the Democrats can't even do it themselves. They're not that nice. Some of them are middle-class people, and they go into the slums during the day but come home in their own home at night. That's phony. Y'all don't see that. Y'all don't see that. Now, Christians are the same. Some Christians are phony talking about loving the neighbor, but actually they love themselves. That's hypocrisy. You know that there are some Christians that are hypocrites? They don't want to do God's will. They want money. They want to take care of themselves. The only reason they come to church is to get. They're not at all here to, Pastor, is there anything I can do today? Sure, you know, go clean up the yard and paint the place, and, you know, go and visit all the neighbors and bring them to church. And, you know, thanks. We don't have any people like that. Did y'all know that? There's nobody calling me. Now, there are people calling me with problems, but there's no people calling me with blessings. Pastor, is there anything I can do? Anything. Burden me down. I mean, give me some problems. I don't have anybody like that. I wish I did. Pastor, would you mind if I filled up this whole side of the church over here? I don't have anybody like that. Oh, it's glorious. I feel I get the church I deserve. That's what I feel. I feel this is the church I deserve. I'm selfish and nasty, and I got a whole bunch of people that are selfish and nasty. Nobody wants to do the will of God. Oh, Pastor, I do. You're a liar. How many know it says in the Bible, let God be true, but every man a liar? I mean, if every man's a liar, then every man's a liar. Now, here's the biggest problem in the New Testament, is that people will not admit they're nasty. The biggest problem is not sin. The biggest problem is pretending like you're not a sinner. That's the biggest problem. So here's what Jesus wants to hear you say. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Now that pleases him. But if he hears you say, Lord, I didn't do wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. I don't know why all this bad stuff is happening. I'm innocent. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like that. Now, if God were to say to me, Jim, have you done any sinning today? Yes, sir. What have you discovered already this morning? And I can list them off. In fact, I could be so blindfolded, you could just make up any word, and it would be me. I'm so bad. Anger? Yeah, I got that. Fear? Yeah, I got that. Pride? Uh-huh, I got that too. Envy? Yeah, I've got that. Self-pity? Uh-huh. You could just name anyone, and it's me. So when Jesus asked me, Jim, have you sinned today? You betcha. But here's the problem, Jesus. I probably don't even have my finger on the right sin. You probably got one I don't even know about. And he goes like this. You're right. The one you're looking at is not the real one. It's bigger. And I didn't even know that. And then he shows it to me, and sure enough, I didn't even know I had that sin. Is anybody like that in this church besides me? I'm that kind of person. If you say, get angry, I'll do it. If you say, love your neighbor as yourself, I won't. And don't love yourself, I will. Pray every day. I'll do it, but I'll do it mechanically. You know, I'm not really into it. You know, when I wake up in the morning, I want to brush my teeth. I don't want to go and pray. I want to eat breakfast. How can you pray on an empty stomach? I've got all these things that I'm more concerned about because I'm into mammon. So how can God get me, a wicked person who's a pastor, too? How many know that pastors can be wicked? How many know that pastors can be wicked? They all are! Every one of them. The only thing that's good about me is I admit I'm not good. The only thing bad about them is they don't want to admit that they're bad. That's the difference. You all don't seem to be excited about that. I am. I think my virtue is admitting I don't have any virtue. I think their wickedness is saying I'm not entirely wicked. They are. Every pastor I've ever met is wicked. He's thinking of himself. Some run off with the organist. You know that's wrong. Some are into greed, you know, trying to get as big a salary as they can. You know, I'm probably twice under everybody else. I don't care. I don't want to get bigger. I want to get smaller. I want to be reduced. And it's working. It's working. I'll tell you, it's working. What a blessing. But there's some sin in me that even when I know about it, I don't do anything about it. And when I do pretend to do something about it, I'm only pretending. Hello? You know, there are people in this church who have left because of the scandal that I am. Did you know that? But thank God for y'all. You're heartier. Here you see the pure and the true. Those that will stick with it through thick and thin. Amen? Because we're not offering anything. Do you know we don't even have stained glass windows? Sorry. And we don't even have a cross on the wall. And we don't have a choir. And we don't have a Starbucks. And we don't have a bowling alley. Not only that, our bathrooms are yucky. But you go to these other churches, they have beautiful, you know, marble bathrooms and, you know, well-tiled and everything. Ours are just, you know, not. So I'm not doing that good a job. Praise God. Isn't that amazing? And yet, some people still come. What's wrong with you? Why don't you go where it's better? You see, the only thing we have here is the truth. That's all I can tell you. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to tell you the truth. It won't get me anywhere. It's not going to get me anything. I don't go to heaven because of it. I don't need to do this. I could be paid more in industry. There's many other things I could do. Why do it? Because God told me to. God said, Jim, I want you to do that. I can't. I can't do it, Jesus. I'll go for mammon. No, you will. I'll send you through my little school. Oh, Jesus has a little school. Here's his little school. Here's how his school works. I didn't know he had one of these schools. Here's number one. That's the benefactor. Here's number two. That's the law. Be perfect. Here's number three. Here's all the property. I want to go to number five. And here's number six, the guy that I'm going to crucify so that he doesn't have any life of his own, but he does everything for him. So remember Jesus, he said this, I came not to be served, but to serve. Remember that? I came to do my Father's will. It's my pleasure to do the Father's will. That's what I want. I always do what's pleasing to him. Now, how can I ever get into this spot right here? Here's how. Okay? Now, number five, I'm sorry, that's the wrong number. I was supposed to be two, three, four. That's five. Now, here's how five goes. Five goes here to six. Six is called, this one is called believer. Here I am, a believer. And you're here. Everybody here is here. I hope you're here. You want to be an unbeliever. You want to be a believer. You believe that God loves you. You believe that God is good. You believe that God sent Jesus to die for you. So you believe that God's going to get this property to you and that the law doesn't fall on you because you're not perfect, but the law loves you without being perfect. So you're a believer. Number two, or number six in this little drawing, is God wants to disciple me. He doesn't want me just to be a believer, but he wants to disciple me. Now, almost no pastors do this. Almost no churches. And even the ones that seem to, if you look closely, they're not doing it either. Because discipling means get all the sin out. Get all the sin out. Get all sin out of their lives. How many here have all the sin out of your life? Well, how do you do that? Okay, it's easy. It's easy. All you got to do is go through this fire. This little fire here. You just go through this fire. What I'm doing right now is preaching to you. I'm preaching fire. That you're not allowed to be wicked. You have to be perfect and pure. And all you got to do is burn up all your flesh. You go through the fire, the flesh will burn and the spirit will live on. So then, after six, comes seven. Now that I've been discipled, disciplined, chastened, suffered until I'm dead, till I take up my cross, then number seven becomes just like Jesus. I'm going to be just like Jesus right here. Seven will become like four, like Christ, Christ-like, just like God wants, perfect, mature, perfect love. You see? And that's where pure worship comes from. When there's nothing to do because I'm not even alive anymore. I died over here. I put on the old man. Here I just believed. But here I actually really got burned up, went through all kinds of hell and problems and troubles. And guess what? It killed my old flesh. My flesh came right out and then got killed. And then the only thing that's left now is to be led by the Spirit. Now I'm filled with the Spirit, right here. I'm filled with the Spirit. Here I'm born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. Here I'm filled with the Spirit. My old man is dead. And here I'm led of the Spirit. I just do whatever God says. Led of the Spirit. Why? Because it's the best life. Besides, there's no more gym left here to do anything. Y'all see this? If you don't, you really need to meditate on this because it's everything. You get a hold of this. This is what God wants for you. To go from five, don't ever take the law because you can't be perfect on your own. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You don't want to try to do two. And you want all that's in three as a free gift. You don't want to earn it. You don't want to earn it. You just want a free gift because you don't deserve it. Because you weren't perfect. You didn't do two. You can't keep the law. Let somebody else keep the law. That was Jesus. Jesus kept the law and he got killed. Because here was what God wanted from this steward. Don't take any mammon for yourself. Don't take care of yourself. Make sure all this goes to Jim. So Jesus made sure all the blessings went here, and all the troubles, all the problems, all the burdens, all the difficulties, death itself, put that all on Jesus. And then he began to change me. I didn't help him. I didn't do it. He just began to change me. First I was a believer, then I was a disciple, and then I became a minister. Everybody here is to minister to your neighbor. You're to be a minister to your children, to your church, to God, to your enemy, to everybody. How many know that perfect love, that's perfect love, is don't take care of yourself because God will take care of you. You don't have to take care of yourself because God will take care of you. How many know that God has taken care of you? Even though he sent you through that fire. See, that fire is good for you because it kills your flesh. How many have gone through a difficulty and a problem and you realize, phew, there's nothing good in me. I'm not getting better. I'm getting worse. When you go through a trouble, you think I'll go like this. Praise the Lord. Nope. I've noticed that Christians don't do that. When they go through trouble, they go like this. Huh. I hate you, God. Help. They're not at all praising God. Remember when it said, in the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer? I've overcome the world. That doesn't produce what God said it was going to produce. What he meant was, when you go through trouble, you'd go like this. Yahoo! And when people call me on the phone, that's not what they're saying. Pastor, I can't pay the rent. Yahoo! I say. And they go, no, could you help me? They're not at all Yahoo. I want a Yahoo with them. They didn't want a Yahoo. Pastor, the IRS is auditing me. You know, Pastor, my husband doesn't love me. He's a pervert. Yahoo! I can see you're not following. I can see you're not following. Because you sympathize with that person. Oh, that's terrible. You have a pervert for a husband. What else is there? What else is there? What are you looking for? I thought God was good. I didn't think people were good. When you get married, you don't marry a good person. You just marry a sinner like yourself. And his sin, wonderfully, brings out yours. Has anybody noticed that about relationships? His sin, I mean, if he weren't there, you probably wouldn't have sinned, but there he is. He brought that out. Oh, it makes me mad what you do. Has anybody noticed that? Especially this is true of men. Has anybody noticed that about men? They are totally unreliable. They are not at all what I thought they were supposed to be. I thought they were wanting to love me, take care of me. They're just taking care of themselves. They want mammon. They don't want all the blessing to fall on me. Y'all see this? Y'all see this? This Christianity to me is not theology. It's the truth, and it'll set you free. Stop trusting in people. Why do you marry someone you can trust? Why not love someone you can't trust? Did you hear what I just said? Only love people you cannot trust. Show me one scripture that says trust in man. I'll show you 100 that say, put not your trust in man, put your trust in the Lord. So it's a sin to trust men, but it's not a sin to love them. You have to love people you don't trust. Did y'all see that? You have to love people you do not trust. Jesus loved us and he didn't trust us. Jesus himself trusted no man, for he knew what was in man and needed none to bear witness of him. So Jesus didn't trust people. Did he trust Peter? He told him, you're gonna betray me tonight. You're gonna deny me. And he said to Judas, you'll betray me. You'll sell me out. That was the kind of disciples he had. What about the other 10? They abandoned him. So you can be betrayed, denied, abandoned, but somehow Jesus was all alone. Why? He said, well, I didn't trust them anyway. I loved them. He even loved Judas. Isn't that interesting? He loved Judas. He called him friend. Kissed him. You think he was faking it? Jesus loved him. You see, God so loved the world. He loves the world, and the world's not even trustworthy. The world's not even good. The world's all mammon. The world's completely into mammon. They're not into helping others. They're into helping themselves. Only God is good, so he sends his son. And even Jesus isn't good. Did you know that Jesus isn't good? He did good, but here's what he said. Good teacher, someone said, none is good but God. Huh? The good works that I do, I don't do them. The Father who dwelleth in me doeth the works. I didn't do the good work. The Father who dwelled in me did the work. Same Father that loves you, and when he comes into you, so what he's got to do, what he's got to do is he's got to be able to love you while you're a sinner, and then burn you up until all the sin is gone, and then he can use you. How many want to get burned today? Pastor, I'm so glad I came today because I didn't know I could suffer and all my sin would go away. Did you know that when you're suffering, you're not sinning? Because when you're suffering, you're going like this. Ah! Ah! So you don't have time to sin. You can't be eating ice cream. You can't be taking care of yourself. Because right then, all you're thinking of is your flesh is crying out. But the Spirit loves it. Because the Spirit is going, ha, huh, this is good for you. Because your flesh has been too much the boss. How many want all your flesh dead? So that there's nothing in you but to be a trustee for God. So that you can minister just for God. I'm telling you, your best days are ahead. As long as you take care of yourself, if you keep your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel's, you'll find it. Now, are other ministers teaching this? I say no. Now, I don't literally mean none are. I believe some are saying the words. I think even some are experiencing it. But I'll tell you what. They're gone through hell. They have to go through hell to get there. And the only way you can go is through that fire. You know, it's kind of like Jesus says, come follow me. Where are you going? Through the fire. No thanks. So here Jesus is saying, suffer. Suffer. So here's me. I want to follow Jesus. I got to get a nice color. You can see this. Here's me. I hear Jesus, and he loved me. See, he died for me. So I'm so happy about him. And he's going. He said, Jim, come follow me. So I start following him until I get to the fire. Whoa! Suddenly, I wasn't thinking of fire. I was thinking of heaven. Yeah. Through the fire, we get to heaven. I don't want to go to heaven all of a sudden. Well, I'll tell you what. If you don't go to heaven, I'll put the fire over here. I got fire everywhere. Oh, my gosh. So I'm damned if I do it. I'm damned if I don't. I mean, oh, my gosh. You got fires everywhere. So I can't escape these fires because God's got it. He's got it so that I love being a little child, but I hate being a young man or a young woman who has to go through the fire in order to become mature like Christ. That's the only way you can do it. So how many know I've got a tough job? I've got a hard job because you don't want to go through the fire. I'm trying to lead you through the fire, but you don't want to go. Here should be your prayer. Father, whatever it takes, let it happen to me so that there's nothing left in me but love. How many want to pray that prayer? I mean, you might say the words, but do you mean it? And do you know what you're saying when you say it? You see, most of you are going, I'm not sure. I think I'll wait and watch, see what happens to Pastor Jim. How many know that Pastor Jim is way too bold and too, I hope something happens to him because I'm scared, you know, that he might be telling the truth, but I hope not. I hope he gets it because then when he gets it, maybe he'll be like me and he'll see why I was reluctant. Do you see my happiness and my joy? Cartwheels, you know. It's just so fun. Y'all want to have fun like that? No, because you're scared. If you got happy, you know what happened? The devil would get you. Have you ever thought of that? If I get happy, if I decide from now on to rejoice in God's love toward me, something bad will happen to me. I got to control myself. I got to protect myself. God won't protect me. When you're happy, you're not thinking of protection. You see? Because you're just dancing as though everything was going your way. You know? You're just up and then you're down and you don't care. How many are like that? Ready to go all the way with Jesus? No matter where he goes. Here's the problem. If you keep your life, you'll lose it. If you protect yourself, you're going to lose it. Only God can protect you. He's showing you the way. This is the way. I want you to come follow me. I want you to be my disciple. I want you to surrender all of your sin to me. I'll burn it up. You can't do it. How many know that you cannot put away your own sin? Let's say you discover one day that you're selfish. Just pretending, I'm just making this up. Let's say you discover you're selfish, that all you care about is yourself. Try to get rid of it. You yourself would selfishly try to get rid of selfishness, and it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Let's say you have an anger problem, and you try to get rid of it. You'll just get angry. You'll get angry that you're angry. Let's say you have a patience problem. You're just not patient with other people. Then you'll become impatient that you're impatient. You're not going to get rid of it. You can never get rid of any sin. You've got to go with Jesus. Beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another. You keep your eyes on Jesus, he goes right through the fire. Come on, Jim. Jesus, I can't go there. It's going to burn me up. No, Jim, it'll burn up your flesh, but not your spirit. Trust me on that. I'm a spirit. Look, and he walked right through the fire. You know, yeah, Jesus, but I'm not spirit. I know that I'm trying to help you get purified. Come on. Come on through. And hey, by the way, rejoice when you go through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, you don't want to go through because you don't trust Jesus. But Jesus went before you. Look, he walked right through the fire and he came out and he rejoiced. And a great shout went up. You see, because he said, not only did I go through, but Jim is coming with me. Jim, hang on. Let go. His fire is getting hot. You see, and Jesus knows, Jim, that's just your flesh. I know. I don't have any spirit. Yeah, you see, that's your flesh dying. How many know you don't want to die? You just don't want to die. You just don't. You don't want to die. You just don't want to die. But go ahead, lose your life for his sake and the gospel's. Now, this is a great message today. I didn't even start it. That was just all free. But now it's time to close. This is a great message. You want to hear this message? I can just tell it to you. I've read this thing about 50 times. I read it in the Greek. I parsed every verb. I looked at every preposition. I've looked at everything. Why? Because I love you. Because God loves you. And he kills me. Makes me get up at 4 a.m. Not just Saturday night. Every day. Why? For you. Why? Why does he take care of me? Because I don't need anything. I'm dead. Why? Because I went through the fire. And I discovered the best thing ever happened to me is when I went through that hell, that fire, that difficulty, that trouble, that problem. Best thing that ever happened to you. I didn't even think about it. I didn't even voluntarily say, God, show me to the fire. I didn't say that. But he took me anyway. Jim, trust me. Stay right with me. Stay right with me. Jim, where are you? Come back. Come back. Come on, it'll be fine. You'll make it. You'll just be done with your flesh when I'm all done here. Oh, no. Come on, Jim. Come on. No. No, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No. Praise God. And as you go through, you'll finally come out on the other end pure. And when it's all done, all the dirt is gone. All the selfishness is gone. Pure worship is on the other side. Remember I said in 2008, God's going to restore pure worship to his churches? It means with no flesh in it. That's why you have to go through the fire. That's why 2008, which we're halfway through, is going to be a year of great difficulty, troubles, trials. Because he said, I'm going to purify my church. How many are excited about that? You're glad you came today to hear that? Is God is going to purify his church. It's been a harlot church long enough. It's time for the bride to make herself ready. Come through the fire. Maybe you've been praying for years for this kind of message. Maybe you've been praying you wouldn't have this kind of message. But here's the truth. It'll set you free. There's more joy. Here's Jesus before he went into the fire, who for the joy that was set before him, it's on the other side of the fire, endured the cross, despising the shame. You see, because all your sins get exposed here. And all your sins get burned up. And there's nothing left on the other side. So Jesus saw Jim's sins. I don't have any sin of my own. Jesus took my sins. He took your sins on him and said, I'm going to take Jim's sins on me. And he carried them through the furnace and they all burned up. And then on the other side was joy unspeakable. You can't even say how joyful. You see, I don't want the security of mammon. I want the certainty of God's promise that he loves me. I don't want the security of mammon. Why did the master commend the wicked servant? Did you know that? Remember that guy had a servant, and he didn't collect any of the debts that were owed, and the master got none of his money back, so he had invested out his money, squandered it on himself also, and gave the master nothing. And the master heard about it, and he said, turn in an account of your stewardship. I'm going to have to fire you from this job. So give me a final accounting. Well, the guy said to himself, whoa, it's going to look bad. Because I never did. I spent his money, and I never collected any of his. I was so busy drunk and doing different things. I didn't even pay attention to God's kingdom. I didn't even pay attention to what the Father wanted. So the guy comes like this. I'm too weak to dig, and I'm too proud to beg. If I turn in, I'm going to be fired. What's going to happen to me? Wow, what a great question. What will happen to me because I'm too weak to dig and too proud to beg? I'm so much into mammon. I know what I'll do. I'll write on everybody's bill what they owe to the creditor, my master. I'll write on everybody's bill a discount. Then after he kicks me out, the master will be happy that I got some of his money back, and they'll take me in. So he believed the law. The law said, if you're not perfect, you're out. If you're not perfect, you're out. If you breach this covenant, you're out. That's what the law says, number two. And he looked and he didn't see anything in number three. The master said, where's my money? I'll have to turn in an accounting. What's he going to put in that accounting? So he went to each guy and he said, how much do you owe? 100. Write 50. Whoa, really? Well, I could pay that now. Well, he's got 50 out of that guy. The next guy, he said, how much do you owe? 100. Okay, how much you got? Not too much. I almost have it, but I don't have quite enough. Okay, write 80. 20% discount. I'll take it. So he got each of these guys to give up something, and he came to the master, and he said to the master, see, here's all the, you know, that you got. He said, wait a minute, I put out 1,000, 2,000 or something, and this is not all of it. I know, but it's as much as I did. That's it? Well, did you put anything in there about what you spent on booze and stuff? Yeah, I threw that in there. That was part of the subtraction. And so the master, listen to this. The master, which is God, commended that wicked servant. Why would he commend him? Why would he commend such a wicked servant? Jesus tells us exactly why. He said, because the children of this world are wiser in their own generation than the sons of light. Did you hear what I just said? He commended the guy because he didn't give him nothing. He came back and he said, I am so selfish. All I ever wanted was mammon. And out of my own self-interest, thinking about my future, I decided the best thing is if I could take the master's resources and then try to get some of them back, not to please the master, but so that after he threw me out, they would, because they'd still owe anyway. But I got them to be my friends. Maybe they'll take me in and make me partner. Because after all, I'll say to them, hey, I gave you a 20%. I gave you 50%. Hey, I gave you 73% discount. Don't you think we should do business together? And God said, I commend that man. Because even though he's wicked, he did not pretend to be good. He gave me a full accounting without any lies. He told me. And I kicked him out of the office, of course, because he wasn't worth anything. But I'll tell you this. What I commend about that guy is he thought about his future for the first time. Instead of living for the moment, he began to think, you know what I've done is wrong. He admitted his sins. He confessed his sins. He was letting the master know, you gave me $100,000, it's now down to 22. You know, whatever. That's okay, the master was pleased. Because he said, at least this man in his own generation was not a hypocrite and a phony and a liar. He said, I'm wicked, I lost your money for you, but here you can have this. It's as much as I can give you. Now, you know some other scriptures, but I'm telling you what this one says. He said, the children of this world are wiser than the children of God. Even the children of God, supposedly the children of God, are not taking care of their future, let alone their present. Now, the Pharisees were listening to that. He was telling this to his disciples, saying, I don't want you to be like the unjust servant. But I also want you to know that God commended that man because he had full passion in this world. All he cared about was not God, but was mammon. And when he served his own self-interest, he actually took care of the master's interest. Didn't mean to, but he did. And the master got part of his money back. How many know the master is not poor? That was just some bad investments that he'd made because he trusted that. He entrusted that man, but he caught him. And the man did not say, I didn't do it. He just said, this is all I could scrape up for you. And he said, even your selfishness has actually gotten me something. Thank you for that. However, your problem is that you took care of your immediate future, but not your eternal future. Now, the Pharisees were listening, and they were saying to themselves, what's he talking about? What's he saying? I think it's against us. Very clever. These are religious ministers. These are the pastors, the priests, the rabbis, the imams, the religious people of the day. Do you want me to keep going? We could pick this up next week. This is very powerful. So he says to them, you know what? You guys are only interested in one thing. You claim to be loyal to the Father, number one. You claim you're a four interested in number one, but you're actually mammonist, and you seek to justify yourselves. Whereas that unjust, wicked servant at least said, I'm not justifying myself. Here's the few pieces I got for you because I ate up most of it. The master God commended that guy in his own age. Didn't go to heaven because of it. But he said to him, at least you did good in this world because you loved mammon and you didn't lie about it and you went after it with all you had and you got what you got. That's your reward. Y'all see that? Here's what bothers me, said the master. Not the unjust servant. What bothers me is another kind of unjust servant who says, I love God and I take care of this beneficiary over here when you want mammon and you're not telling the truth about it. That's the problem with the church today. That's the problem with religion today. There'll be no worship because the Pharisees and the ministers and the priests and the imams and the rabbis and the religious so-and-sos are actually full of lust, full of greed, full of ego, taking care of themselves and not at all taking care of the Father's. He would rather you had taken his stuff and at least got part of it back, because at least he would have commended you for being wise in your own age. You didn't get pleasure here or in eternity. You neglected the eternal. At least that guy thought about his future. You got nothing. You are a liar, and therefore the Pharisee was out. Well, the Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus after hearing that. Whoa, you're using that against us. He said, you teach the law, but you don't keep it. You think the law and the prophets, that you're keeping number two up here, and you're pleasing the Father? He doesn't judge outwardly. He judges inwardly. Your heart is wretched. You want to pretend like you're good. I hope there's no one in this church that imagines you're any good. I hope you all know that you're blackguards. That's bad. Don't be a blackguard. I hope you all know you are wicked as all get out, even though you're a Christian. I know you're righteous by faith, but that's the only way you're righteous. You haven't done any good works, and you never will do. You have to go through the fire, and all your good works will burn up in that fire. Better for them to burn up now than to burn up later. Now, you say, well, I don't know, Pastor, even though what you just said is probably true, I still don't want to go through the fire. Okay, are you a mammonist? Are you a mammonist that only cares about mammon? Then go for it. I'd rather you be hot. Number one, loving number one. Or cold, being like that unrighteous steward. At least he took care of himself. But I hate it that you're lukewarm. I want you to go all the way for God or all the way for mammon. One or the other. You get into that job right there, go one way or the other. Okay, let's say you're hot. Sit over here in number five. Don't pretend like you're a number four when you're really a mammonist. Be over here. The Pharisee's over here saying he's a minister, but he actually is out for himself. And here's what Jesus said. You who are lovers of money. There's a certain word in the Greek, it cannot translate into English, but it says this. Your very being and existence, no matter what your mouth is saying, is that you want for yourself, you're selfish. Now, All I want you to do is admit that. Stop justifying yourself and saying you're doing the will of God when you're not. How many here are ready to say, you know what? I'm not. I'm not doing the will of God. I'm not doing the will of God. If ever it happened, it was completely God that did it. Now, what God wants you to do is go through the fire so he can burn all of that off. Why? Because there's your blessing. How many are excited for this message? This is Pastor Jim. Thank you. This is such a good message. I love it. Because it means that I can't do 5, I can't do 6, I can't do 7, I can't do 4, I can't do anything. Well, God never wanted you to. It's his pleasure to give you the kingdom. His intention was always to give you everything. But if you try to take care of it yourself, all you get is something in this world. You want mammon? Take it. But you know what? It has no future to it. It's only an immediate future, and then it's over. And these Pharisees who say they're religious when they're not, that's what bothers them. That's what he's angry at. And that's why he said to them, you know why he's angry at them? He's not angry because he wants to send them to hell. He's angry because they're preventing others from going to heaven, and they themselves will not go, because the reason he came was to make you a beneficiary. You don't have to be good. You don't have to do anything. And they're saying, we can keep the law. You're not keeping the law. Stop lying. Let God be true and every man a sinner, a liar. You know what? I'm a liar. In and of myself, that's all I can do is lie. If I said I love God, that would be a lie. I don't love God. I love Jim. Peggy knows that. Y'all, if you've had any experience with me, you know that. Now, if something good happened, I didn't know about it. If something good happened, it's like a miracle. Oh, I must have gone through the fire and didn't notice. You say, well, Pastor, you blessed me the other day. Something you said. Oh, that was God. Don't thank me. That was a miracle. Well, Pastor, the other day, you gave me a hug. Okay, I'm sorry. Didn't mean it, but that must have happened. Yeah, that's right. That's right. How many know that when you do something good, don't take credit? You didn't do it. The only thing that makes good come out is when you're dead. Because then that's when God lives in you. God will only live in dead people. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for sinners. You're a number 5, still a sinner, but he loves you unconditionally. Let him send you through the fire. Let him purify you. Let him make you like himself. And he gets all the glory. You cannot do this. Don't be lying to God and saying you're a good steward when you're not. If you love God, you only love him because he first loved you. You know that when God loves me, I don't come to God because he loved me. I came to God because he did something for me. And the only reason I like him is because I could use him. I wasn't thinking, oh, now that you've loved me, I want to love you back. I wasn't thinking that at all. I was thinking, keep it up. Keep doing everything for me. That's all I was thinking. I was just using God. That's not a good motive. How many know that's not a good motive? I didn't want to come and say, God, I don't want to sin anymore. I was coming to God and saying, God, keep forgiving me. I want to keep sinning so you can keep forgiving me. Is anyone like me? And even if I hadn't said it, wouldn't make any difference, because I still wanted to sin. I still wanted to be selfish. Even after he loved me, I still didn't appreciate him. I still didn't want to worship him. I still didn't want to thank him. All I wanted to do was, well, thank you for taking care of me and keep it up. I didn't want to help him. I didn't want to be his son. I didn't want to be like him. I didn't want to be a 7, because I knew I had to go through 6, and I didn't want that. I knew that Jim wouldn't get any mammon. That I wanted to have mammon. I want to be a Christian, but I also want to have stuff in this world. Is anybody else like that? I want to be a Christian, but I want to have a good marriage. What for? Is it enough just to be a Christian? I want to be a Christian, but I want to be rich. What for? It's enough just to be a Christian. You want both. Yes. But if you'll seek first the kingdom, he'll give you everything else. You won't earn it. He'll just give it to you. Because it's the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. You don't earn it. He just gives it to you. He never wanted you to take it and earn it. He wanted you to be a wicked sinner who didn't deserve it, and then he just gave it to you, and you just thanked him because you didn't do any of it. And you didn't clean yourself up, and you didn't mature yourself, and you had nothing to do with anything. To God be the glory. Now, pure worship is where you're not involved. You worship God because you go, you know what, God? I can't even do a good work because you've done all the good works. You did them for me. You did them in me. You did them through me. You did everything. I never cleaned myself up. How many know you cannot clean yourself up? God, after all, what you've done for me, I'd like to help out a little bit now.
That's a lie.
You're not helping God out. The more you try to be a good wife, you won't be one. All you'll see is how wicked you are. The more you try to be unselfish, the more you'll discover how selfish you are. The more you try not to lie, the more you'll lie. I'm telling you, you cannot clean yourself up. Beholding Him, we are changed. Just keep your eye on Jesus, the one that loved you and forgave you. Just keep your eye on Him and go right to the fire. Oh, Jesus, well, I'm burning up, but praise God, I love you. And you're just going through, and you'll be amazed when you're through. You'll go, how did I do that? You didn't. He carried you through. He took you through. He's the one that died first, and He's the one, not only first, but He's the one that takes you through too. He promises that. Every one of you is going to mature. Do you believe that? I know you believe Jesus died for you. Do you believe you'll die for Him? So that you will live for His beloved, the wicked out there in the world? See, the church is very judgmental of the world. We're very proud of what we've done wrong. That's sinful. That's the problem with the Pharisee. God wants you to know you're just as bad as everybody that's out there. There's no difference between you and everybody that's out there. You're a hairbreadth away of being exactly what it is you think you shouldn't be. You're just a hairbreadth away. So what God wants is for you to stop justifying yourself. Even after you're a Christian, He wants you to say, the only reason I'm righteous is because God is good. I just got my eyes on Jesus. He loves me unconditionally no matter what. And the best is yet to come. How many are ready now to go through the fire with Jesus? He's taking you. You're looking right into His eyes. You don't have to look at His backside. That's the law. You're looking right into His eyes. He's just like this. Jim, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. And He's pulled you right through the fire. Jesus is burning me. No, no, no. Jesus, look at me. Look at me. You want me to turn the fire off? Yes. No. Turn it up. Okay, thank you. And Jesus will take you through. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Yeah, something's burning off. That's your flesh. It's not your spirit. Your spirit's doing fine. And do you trust Jesus? The same one that created you is the same one that redeems you, is the same one that's sanctifying you, is the same one that's glorifying you. That's the same one. He's taking you this whole route. The law never fell on you. It always fell on Jesus. You'll make it because your God loves you. Now, I don't know if I touched anybody today. I know what I told you is the absolute God's truth. I know it. But did I touch anybody today? Did anyone here get a hold of this? Did anyone say, did you get some of it? Did you really? It's powerful. That's a miracle. That's God's love to you. If you got a hold of that, nothing pleases God more. Don't do anything for Him. Let Him do it all. Anyone else get a hold of this? You heard the good news. Nick? Praise God. Anyone else? Yes. Suzanne? Anyone else? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I expected. Yeah, I was hoping. Yeah. Who else? Who else got a hold of this? Praise God. Because this is not normally what you hear in church. So I'm either wrong or they're wrong. But we're not both right. I believe the church has heard about this, but it doesn't actually take you through the fire because that's where the joy is. After you've gone through hell, you'll look back and say, you know what? I hated it, but that was the best thing that ever happened to me. I drew closer to God then than ever before. When you're in the fire, you don't have any other hope but the one that's taking you through. You don't have any God. There isn't yourself. When you're going through the fire, you don't have any strength. You don't have any faith. You don't have anything. All you've got is Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You'll make it through. And when you make it through, you'll thank God later and say, I don't even know how I got through. I don't know how that happened because I'm not a natural good person. But I believe right now that God has done this. I give God the glory.